into the body of Christ. A while back, God told me one Sunday to say something in church. Sorry that I cry. But you know what? The extraordinary happens where the impossible is. Extraordinary things happen where we think it is impossible for anything to happen. And I want to confirm Rake's word, what Ken said. I confirm the songs we've sung. I am amazed how good God is. But I want to say three things to you. God gave me a dream about 4 weeks ago, lovey. He doesn't know what the dream is. Because usually when God talks to me in dreams, I immediately know the meaning of the dream. And this was a horrible dream. It was a dream that I didn't want to have. And I want the children and the older people and every one of us to listen to what God says. We are going into Passover. Passover was on the 23rd of March, or say it is on the 23rd of March, or it was. But that was the day when the Israelites went into their houses for 3 days with a lamb. And the lamb had to be faultless. And they had to search for anything that is unholy in their places. That's the first one. The day they left Israel, then they left Israel. The day they went into the promised land, again, it was Passover. So they went into the promised land. So God is God. These things, he has his festivals with the Jews. We're not Jews, but we watch and we learn. And we take into account that God has got a message for us. And again, they had to get rid of all the unleavened things, all the things in their lives that wasn't glorifying God. And we are again at the beginning of maybe the last Passover. It could be more. I don't care. But God has given me a word for the church. And the body of Christ needs to listen very carefully. Whether we sit in the front row or whether we sit in the back row, he wants each of us being busy at this point in cleansing, dealing with the little things which he'd been talking with us for a very, very long time. And Fritz and I debrief every day what goes on at school and what doesn't go on at school. But God, I want to give him, but God, his goodness lead us to repentance. And that's a scripture I put on the right-hand side of my board on a daily basis. Because the more we see it, the more it comes to us. But now let's go to the dream. Now that night, I take a sleeping tablet, I have to say. I have to be honest. So Omar doesn't know when she wakes up what she does. But that night, God, at about 3 o'clock, I was awake. And I had just out of this dream. And he said to me, you go and write it down now. Now, I don't have a pen and paper next to my bed necessarily. So I marched down to the kitchen, found a piece of paper. I'll show you what it looks like. This. It's school stuff. So I just grabbed the first piece of paper and I started writing exactly as the Holy Spirit speaks to me. And this message is for the church. It is not for the unreborn, you're not born again in Christ. It is for us. And this is how God sees us. And it's frightening. Now, since that dream, Madam is getting her house in order. I have been doing and walking with the Lord like never before. The kids at school can tell you, my husband, we talk about these things. My grandkids, I want you guys to understand one thing. If you have any idol, anything in your life now that takes up more time than Jesus Christ, you are not at the place where you are. And I tell you why. Listen to the dream. It is a word first to me. God spoke to me, so I am representing the church, the body of Christ, in the dream. And this is the dream, just as I wrote it exactly. It is morning at school. I had a top black one on, not dressed well for school. The kids in class already, they a little haggard. A girl came in with toys, mourning about somebody's funeral. And she had her little toys resembling a casket in a black car. Now that in itself is like, God, what are you saying? But let's listen. She was just playing at my desk, and I can still see her play there. I knew I had to do something. We knew we have to do something today. We have a neighbor. We have a somebody. We have a son. We have a daughter. We have somebody that's busy playing with a casket in a and sort of mourning the death of something in their lives. So I urgently take her to the counselor in the school. Well, see, I had to take her to somebody else. How often do we say, if I can just get you to Ken to pray, just get you to Rake, to Darren, then you will be fine. I took her to the counselor. As I look up the mother, suddenly the mother emaciated, and this is exactly the word that God gave me, emaciated and desperate, moaning. Also, she comes in my class with more children. I knew I had to do something urgently before school starts, before the time of the coming of the Lord Jesus. I'm still not dressed properly. I'm still in this clothes. As I then go to the office, it was a different setup. It's not the counselor's room, I know. It was a different setup. At first, I did not see the counselor before, because she was seated having her own breakfast. Now I looked into the room. I keep looking into the room. And there's two elderly patients at the end in the bed, and they are on oxygen, right? Suddenly, the counselor appears, motioning me out. She's like, just leave. Because it was not right for me to be there. In her office area, she sat down to eat further. As if she thinks the people, the mother and the two children, belong to me. It was like she didn't bother asking, who are these people with you? So they are with her, with me, and she said, she puts herself, the mother laid herself down on the couch, pulling my arm, begging me for food. First faintly, she says, a meat pie, just anything. I was not sure we had such stuff at school. However, I was determined to get her a well-balanced breakfast. She still wails about her husband who's gone. So now I found out it's the husband. In some tragedy, I just knew. The little one still acting out the funeral procession. On the floor, my emotions were very, very upset. I was desperate to help. But while I promised the food, I knew. I do not know that I could find that in this place. But was determined to get it. I still had that determination. The woman, and at all the time, she's clinging to my hand, and with a feel of desperation. She looks like she's got a drug issue. You know, if you know people with drug issues, that's what she looked like, just to describe her. She does not seem to worry too much about the kid. It's more about herself. Now, that's the last words I wrote down, so you can understand. I stand in the kitchen, I had these words, it's horrible, it's frightening, and I think God's talking to me, and this is my life. And yes, God was talking to me first, that is true. But over these weeks, I'd been praying, and I'd been asking God. I said, God, what is it? And this morning, I got up, and God said, it's time to share it with the body. And so I had a doctor's appointment, and I went. I wasn't planning on coming to church, but I went there. And the lady at the desk, and that's why I said the words, see the extraordinary in impossible places. She doesn't know me. I don't know her. We know one another a little bit. I shared with her about the Lord and things, you know, just in passing. You know what a doctor's surgery looks like? Is there time for the extraordinary to happen? Not really. But with Him in us, everybody is a body that needs the Word of God. We cannot pass by anybody. We cannot. And God's great. He's got a sense of humor. He shut the door, everybody's out, and there I have her, all to myself. And so we shared. And she shared with me. She's from a Roman Catholic background. And I said to her, you better be ready. You have to be ready. She says, is it time for the 3 days of darkness? I say, I don't know. All I know, God says to me, this Passover is the time for us to go indoors. That doesn't mean indoors, literally. You could be at your workplace, but you have to. You have to get rid of all the things in your life. You have to share Jesus Christ, because if I had bread at that point in the dream, the body of Christ, if we had the bread and have the bread, there shouldn't be people around us in this town or wherever we go that do not share in what we have. I can only share what I have. If I don't have it, and kids, I talk to you. If you don't have a cookie, you cannot share it with your nana, your papa, or anybody. So if we haven't got Jesus Christ at the center of our lives, this is the place where the church is. We are half-dressed. We know there's a need. There's people tugging on our hearts, on our arms. We have time for sport, for watching sport, for me sitting and watching stuff on YouTube, for doing everything we want. I mean, I enjoy life. So where does God fit into this life? Have I got a mission? Am I on that mission to make sure that when I enter the gates, He would not have to ask me, Krista, why did you not talk to so-and-so? I sit with hundreds of kids every day. I've got a fun time. I speak the word in their lives. I speak it over them. I say it. I couldn't care anything. This one boy, he came new. His mom committed suicide a while back. So he is one of those. He says, I'm an atheist. He says, Mrs. Neething, but I'm open. I said, mate, God can work with that. That's fine. So this is where we're at. And I want to testify to you today that we look at other Christians who we think Ken and Lexi should be taking the word out. So they are the counselors, but they are busy, busy. We are all busy. But we see older people around us in town or wherever we are who are on oxygen. They're at the end of their lives, so to speak. That means the oxygen is the air of God breathing out of them. He still keeps them there so that we can do what God called us for. And you're never too old to do it. You are never not at the place where you should be. And if you are, you should fear God today. Because the 23rd of April, or March, is the day of the triumphant entrance of our Lord Jesus Christ when He came into Jerusalem, where He had 3 days. Let us use this Passover. Nothing to do with Easter eggs and all the worldly rubbish which has entered, all these heathen practices that entered the body of Christ, and we happily go along with it. And I teach the kids these things. The kids in my class, you can ask them about these things. I tell them, this is where it entered the church. And for 200 years, there were no people allowed to have Christmas like we have Christmas today. Because our forefathers, the people coming from there, knew the truth. But what are we doing? We are compromising. We're falling back into the world. And we are half-dressed. But we in our hearts, God says, body, I see you. You know you want to feed them. You can if you want. You've got the food. Just get up and do it now. Spend time with Jesus Christ. Have a closer walk. have a closer walk with thee. There's that song. We can sing it. But, I mean, this is Ken. God's message to the church is it's actually uplifting. Because if we hear this today, and if somebody tells me today, Krista, today is your last day, I do not want to enter the gates, knowing there's so many people left behind. We don't touch the people in the church. We shouldn't be touching too many people in the church. The church should be so busy touching people outside. We should stop whinging and stop worrying about my this and my that. Get out of it. Ken prayed this morning. Rick talked about it. We are delivered. It's cut. It's gone. Why will I waddle in the pigsty? What am I doing there? Why am I not on the street corners and the cafes and the doctor surgeries? And don't give me, I cannot do it. I said to the lady behind the desk this morning, I said, you, lady, you pray for everybody that walks in the door. And if I'm the patient that irritates you, you bear the fruit of the Spirit, because that's what God is asking. She says, yes, you're right. And it was such a marvelous, I had church before church. And this was after God said, come and talk to the body about the state of the body. Now, if we think we're nicely dressed and we're at the place, sorry, we are not. And this is the bigger message to the whole body of Christ, where they have smoke machines and big bands and, as Rake said, beautiful buildings and everything is going. Please, I beg you, Jesus coming is at the door. He gives us time and messages today. Darren's going to do it for us. But he gives it so that we can fix it. You young ones, you better serve Jesus, right? Set an example. If I stand and I see young ones worship Jesus like this, I think, oh my goodness gracious, if they can see how big a God we serve, we will all rise up and we will cry out and serve.
One. Thanks.